I want you to leave encouraged today. I want to point you to Hebrews chapter 6 is where we're going to be going today. And the title of the message is Our Hope. Our Hope. I believe we all want to strive for something. It may be as simple as getting out of bed in the morning, but if we are not striving for something, then maybe we're depressed or maybe we have a skewed outlook in life. But I think that many of us are striving for something by the way that we live. Many of us work a job that, we enjoy or we at least tolerate so that we can be able to go play with the toys or enjoy the things that we have. Or we believe that we continue to put away money for retirement, that someday when we turn that grand age or whatever it's supposed to be, we can enjoy retirement and we enjoy that. We believe in our kids, and so because of that, we sign them up for this sport and for that sport or for drama or music or whatever, believing that our kids will make it or at least enjoy competing or developing some friends as well. You are here, I believe, this morning, hoping for God to speak to you. I think that's why you've come. You've come to fellowship, but you've come to say, God, please speak to my heart. The author of Hebrews talks about the hope set before you. It says set before us. This is more than just a carrot on a stick as a dog is chasing after. It's more than just the promise of an ice cream cone for your toddler to say, would you please smile for the pictures so then we can get done with this, and if you smile, I'll give you an ice cream cone. It's more than that. It's more than the passing thrill of your team winning the Super Bowl. Because there's another season ahead. This is a superb hope. This is something deeper. This is something that you really look forward to, this hope that is set before us. But what happens is we get clouded. We get clouded by so many things that are going on. Even now, your mind wanders at times to what are you going to do about today and who's going to win the big game and how is it going to meet for the playoffs and then what happens this week in your job and a variety of things. You get clouded by things and the enemy brings you into a lie trying to hope that you will be surrounded by those things and he will provide superficial and limited hope. But the hope that we're going to talk about today is something different. It's a hope that lasts and endures. Is it a hope that goes on and on? The hope that the world gives fails miserably time and time again. I want us to make sure that we are aware. I talked last week from verses 9 to 12, and it says, so that you may not be sluggish, in verse 12, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I want to say that we need to be faithful and determined so we can receive that hope. So I want to talk to you today about a greater hope. A greater hope. A hope that is one that continues to resonate in our hearts and our lives. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked a boy in the dugout what the score was. And the boy responded, 18-0, we're behind. And the spectator says, boy, I bet you're discouraged. And the boy says, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even got up to bat yet. Where's your hope? Do you have hope today? Do you have hope of eternal life? Do you have hope of peace today? Do you have hope of Jesus being on the throne? Do you have everlasting hope that is experienced today and every day henceforth? Do you find yourself clinging to worthless idols? May the scripture send you out of the sanctuary with great hope. Rabbi Zacharias said this, hope is that indispensable element that makes the present so important. Significantly, the absence of future hope has an amazing capacity to reach into the present and eat away at the structure of life as termites would a giant foundation. I want to talk to you about hope today. Join me, Hebrews chapter 6. Starting at verse 13, going through verse 18. It's on Pew Bible page 1004. If you want to follow on there, follow on the screen behind me, whatever is most convenient for you. Here's what it says. For when God made a promise to Abraham, Since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. God made a promise. I'm going to talk a little bit about Abraham today, and I hope that as we look back at his life a little bit, you're going to catch a couple of nuggets for where you need to be, specifically for your life today. God made a promise. God gives many promises in his book called the Bible. I hope that you know many of those promises. I hope that you've memorized some of those promises. Some of those promises are good to have on those days when you're like, it just doesn't seem like there's much hope. And you can draw back to Scripture and you say, but there is hope because God has given to me promises. The specific promise given here to Abraham was, surely I will bless you and multiply you. Now, when you think back on that, it was pretty audacious for God to provide that promise to Abraham. Many of you know this. Many of you know that Abraham at that point in time, didn't have any kids. How's he going to multiply and how's he going to bless when you don't have any kids? He was around 75 years of age. Now, I probably shouldn't say anything, Richard Patterson, but I think Richard Patterson's around 75 years of age. He's not quite there yet. But think of Richard Patterson being a dad. Richard, would you like to be a dad today of a little kid? No. No. Glenna, you want to be a mom of a baby? Think of that. Abraham was thinking, how is God going to deliver on this promise? Has God given you a promise? I wonder that, and I want you to think about that. Sometimes when you think about your life, God gave you a promise back when you were 12, or back when you were 25, or back when you were 40, or back when you were 52, or whatever age it might be. God gave you a specific promise. There was something that happened in your life. You were sitting there, and all of a sudden one day you're like, I need to write that down because I believe God is speaking to me. You were at a conference, you were at a convention, you were at a church service, you were out in the middle of a meadow, and all of a sudden you just felt impressed upon you that God gave you a promise. Some of you are like that. You just feel like if I was to ask you right now outright, you could say, yes, God gave me a promise, and here's the promise that God gave to me. I'll talk to you about that in just a moment, because sometimes we think, well, where are you at, God, in this promise? And I wonder what Abraham thought as he was thinking about this promise. Where are you at, God, in this promise? Some of us don't have that kind of promise. Some of us don't have a specific one, but we believe in the promises of God's word. I believe that there are promises that God has given that we can apply to our lives, but I don't think that we can apply this one from Abraham to our lives. God has not told you, at least I don't think, God has not told you that he's going to bless you and multiply you and make you into a mighty nation. You don't get that promise, I'm sorry. That's not your promise. You don't get the Abraham covenant. You just don't get that one. None of you were given the promise of birthing Jesus. That was Mary's. That was her promise. That's the one that she received. There are specific promises. John the Baptist was the forerunner before Jesus. No one else was. Solomon was the one to build the temple. Not you, not I. There are some specific promises, and I believe that God can still give specific promises. And he gave him a promise. Surely, I will bless you and multiply you. One source says that there's over 5,000 promises in the Bible. Over 5,000 promises in the Bible. That's incredible. What a hope. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who obtain mercy, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The Beatitudes go on and on. Other promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Surely the goodness and mercy and grace will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. My peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Fear not, for I am with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Those are just a couple of the promises of God's word that I came up with. You have some others in your head and you're like, wow, those are great promises. God gives us promises. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. He swore by himself. I think of the person putting their hand on the Bible. In just a couple of days, there's going to be a guy by the name of Mr. Trump that's going to put his hand on the Bible and he's going to say, I'm going to try to uphold everything that I can, so help me God. That's what he's going to say. Be encouraged today that God has given you a promise. But sometimes the fruits of that promise have not yet been revealed. Or you may be doubting some promises of God because of people. I've promised some things, and I've not come through on some of those things. So have you. I promise to do that. You don't say, I promise, but I'm going to do that. And then you don't do that. God's word says, he kept his promise. He didn't swear on anything else except for himself because he is the one that is the true one who keeps the promises. God made a promise to Abraham. It says this, when God made a promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, and thus Abraham, having patiently waited. Abraham patiently waited. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting patiently? I think of a father waiting outside of the delivery room to hear the good news of a newborn. I think of the boy sitting outside the principal's office waiting to go in to see the principal. I think of a mother waiting for her son to come home. I think of the person waiting in the dentist waiting room, waiting to go back into the dentist chair. I think of the woman waiting to hear the results of her MRI. I think of the person waiting at the airline terminal as the flight gets delayed again. I think of a wife waiting for her husband to come home. I think of a husband waiting to hear an encouraging word from his wife. I think of the child longing to hear those words, I love you. I think of a person who's been given a promise from God and what everything appears, he hasn't received that promise yet. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. I think there's something about patiently waiting. There's a movie called The Princess Bride. Maybe some of you have seen The Princess Bride. Maybe some of you have not seen that movie. But there's a scene in the movie where the man in black is chasing the people, and they're chasing him up a cliff, and he's climbing up this huge cliff after these three guys and Andre the Giant's in it, and he's carrying three people, and the man in black is all by himself and he's catching him, and they get up to the top, the three people get up to the top, and they cut the rope, and the man in black, they think he's going to fall, and they go over to the side of the cliff, and the man in black didn't fall, and he's like, he didn't fall, and he says the words, inconceivable. Well, three of the people, go ahead and rush off. And Inigo Montoya is the guy's name, who was told, finish off the man in black. So the man in black's hanging on the side of the wall, and he's trying to climb up to get up to go get the lady he wants. And yet at that point in time, he's trying to get up there, and Inigo's up using his sword, getting ready for the sword fight. So he goes over and he says, I don't suppose you can speed things up, you know, and the man in black's like, well, I'm trying to get there as fast as I can. And this is what Inigo says as he's waiting up there. He says, I hate waiting. We, I believe, as individuals, hate waiting for the promises that we feel God has given to us that we expect now. I hate waiting. Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Let me read it again in timing. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. I read that in about 10 seconds. We sure want the promise to come faster than 10 seconds, don't we? I bet you Abraham wanted as well. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Some of us in this room would not rate patience as very popular or ripe fruit in our life. It would actually be pretty sour. It would be pretty mushy. It would not be a very good fruit in our lives. We want it now. And let me ask this question for just a moment. We get riled up about sins such as sexual immorality, cursing, alcoholism, abuse. But what about impatience? Shouldn't this be a fruit flowing from the God-filled life? But can it be a sin if we're being impatient? We just view it as a character flaw. Oh, I'm just impatient. I'm just an impatient person. And so that's just who I am. That's just part of my character. My mom was impatient. My grandma was impatient. My great-grandma was impatient. My great-great-grandma was impatient. And, I mean, there's a lot of people in my family line that are impatient, so I'm just impatient. That's just who I am. The fruit of the Spirit is patient. Abraham, having patiently waited. The King James Version says this, after he patiently endured. Net Bible says, and so by persevering. Maybe this is a sign of a truly God-filled life, one that is patiently waiting, though not being slothful in their life, but pursuing with great anticipation, but waiting on the Lord. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? A new car? A healthy child? A good grade? A check to come in? The summer? Is it the best possible thing, and are you waiting with patience? What if Abraham hadn't waited patiently? What if he just said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm tired of waiting. he actually kind of worked something out. If you remember the story of Abraham, I think maybe he did get a little frustrated with some of that, and he decided not to, with Sarah, but with another lady, have Ishmael. He waited patiently because God said, no, I'm going to continue to fulfill this covenant through your wife. But I want you to see also, and I have to go back to chapter 12 of Genesis just to show you this, because I think it's important. Abraham didn't just say, okay, whatever, God. I'll just sit back and I'll just wait. I don't need to do anything. That's not what Abraham did. He actually did something. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 12. You can go there if you want. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He had to do something. He had to go. He had to go from the country, and I will make you a great nation. We reject this. I believe this. We want to stay where we are. Recently, I had a man come to me, and he asked about a job, and he wanted to talk to me and just give some advice about a job that wasn't here. And it was going to mess up family life, mess up connections. And I believe sometimes God says, I need to move you in order to move you closer to me. That doesn't necessarily mean physically speaking, a physical place. It can actually mean an emotional place. It can actually mean a spiritual place. But I believe that sometimes God has to move us beyond where we are to get that promise. No, I'll just patiently wait right here. And God says to Abraham, he said, you go. And in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 12, this is what it said. So Abram went. So he's patiently waiting as he goes because God told him to go. Are you willing to do that? I wonder if anyone has said, no, well, you can't do that. You're moving? Are you crazy? Do you know how old Abraham was when he moved? He was probably around 75 years of age. 75 years of age is not the age we're supposed to be moving. I mean, 75 years of age or a little older is when you move into an assisted living. I mean, that's when you're getting close to death's door kind of deal. But when you're 75, you're still vibrant. You're still lively. You're still ready to go, you know. But when you're younger, like 75, like, I got plenty of years. Okay, maybe 100 for some of you. I shouldn't say 90 for some of us. He left and he went. Peter jumped out of the boat to walk on water. Jesus left heaven. David left the life of a shepherd to become a king. Are you willing to go in whatever? Hear me in this. Is there something that God has promised you and yet you're holding back a little bit because you're saying, well, I don't know. Oh man. Let me get a little closer to some of us for just a moment. Are we willing to let our kids do that? I believe in my heart and life that I'm willing to do that, but I have a 13, 11, a 9, and a 7-year-old. If they come to me someday and say, Dad, I want to, and I look at them and say, whoo, oh, mercy. I don't know. What if somebody came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I don't know that you should do that. Do you know what's in that land? And Abraham probably said, well, no, I don't. But I'm going to go because why? God has given me a promise. And God is my hope. And I will go. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to a physical place. Maybe it's an emotional, maybe it's a spiritual. Some of us, I wonder, stifle our children because we're the parent. And we have to be parents that say, okay. Some of you are older than me and you have adult children. And I wonder if you continue to stifle your kids from growing because, well, let them go. If God's given them a promise, let them go. If you do this, do you stifle? Is that tough? Oh boy, is that tough. Those are tough. That's way tough. Maybe some of you feel that stifling from a parental unit. You're like, I just wish they'd let me be a man. 40 years old. I'm not a baby. Abraham was made a promise. And God said, I will bless you and multiply you. I wonder if he wouldn't have went. And I don't know this. I can't play God here. But I wonder if he wouldn't have went. Would the promise fully have been fulfilled? I truly believe that the promise still would have been fulfilled some other way, but God told him to go, and he went. Abraham was convinced of the Lord, and so he patiently waited. You've got to also join me in Romans chapter 4. Because it talks about Abraham here in a little different way. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 18. I'm not going to read the ESV, some of it, because I like what the NIV says. The NIV says this: against all hope, Abraham believed that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's what I go back to. Has God given you a promise? And when you look at all the factors here, you think, there is no way. Against all hope, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was convinced. See, God cannot lie, and he kept his covenant. A.W. Tozer says this: covenant is only as good as the character of the one who makes it. A promise is nothing of itself. All promises of God rest on the character of God. We ought to know the kind of God God is. God keeps his covenant. There's a hope that's set before you. One night, the story is told by a man by the name of Halford Luckock. One night at a dinner, a man who had spent many summers in Maine fascinated his companions by telling them of his experiences in a little town called Flagstaff. The town was to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the month before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it were to be covered with water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woe beyond. Then he added by way of explanation, well, there is no faith in the future. There is no power in the present. I don't know what promises God has given to you. Maybe it's been a specific promise. Maybe it's a general promise from the Bible. Maybe you're wondering, well, how come I haven't had the promise yet? Maybe the promise is coming. Abraham was 75 years of age when he was given the promise. The promise was kind of fulfilled when he was 100 years old. That's 25 years. I read a devotion this morning that then talked about Isaac, and at age 12, he went with his son Isaac and almost ended that promise. Take 75, 100 to 112, 42 years, and here he is with a knife over his son, ready to kill him because God had told him to do that. God had told him, go kill your son. Against all hope, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Where's your hope? What's those promises? Have you patiently been waiting, or have you tried to jump? Let me go in front of you here, Lord, because you're not doing it here. Come with me, God. let me show you a little bit. Have you felt stifled? Have you been stifling someone? And let me add this as another factor for you. Some of you are like, I'm not catching anything of what you're saying here, Pastor Steve. Then let me say this. You have at least five people around you, I believe, not sitting here, hopefully. You have at least five people in your world that are without hope. They have no hope set before them. Their hope is in a new car. Their hope is in the Packers winning a football. Seriously, that's the hope we have? No, we have so much greater hope. And so I encourage you this week, patiently wait. Seek the promises of God. Hope in the hope that is set before us. And if you don't have any of those and you find somebody who's without hope and you share with them, I've got the hope. And let me tell you about the hope that I have. It's the hope of Jesus Christ. Stand with me, please. I want to pray for you today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I believe that God has been speaking to you today. And I just want, in the quietness of this moment, for you just to say again to God, I believe in the hope, or I'm waiting patiently, or please forgive me for not being patient, or help me to go. And you may not even know what that means. Help us. And I want you just to hope in the Lord. Before I pray, I want to read the words of this song. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, hear these words. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lord Jesus, I pray for each person here today. There are some young boys in this congregation today, some young ladies. There are some middle-aged men. There are some middle-aged ladies. There are some older individuals, seniors, who have been given promises from you. I pray that they would wait patiently for the hope that is set before us, the hope of eternal life, the hope of the promises that you give. And I pray that as they patiently wait, as they go to where they need to go and they do what they need to do, I pray that you would endure and that you would help them to patiently wait. Thank you that you are a God who does not go back on your promises, but you are faithful and you are true. Thank you that you are who you are. It's not possible for you to lie. And so you hold true to your promises. I pray that individuals as they leave today would just go with hope in you, knowing that the hope is set before us and all other things are sinking sand. Give us your hope today. Give us your freedom, and may we leave rejoicing. Lord Jesus, I pray for somebody this week that each of us know. I pray that you give opportunity for each one of us in the sanctuary today, at least one person, to share the hope of you with. Set up that situation for us. May we be bold to walk through that. And may they see the hope that is within us because of you being within us as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.